Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Yeah, we're going to be talking about today is in the extra hour. It's about the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about it. It's the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. You know, in your body, there's one common thing in your body. No, if you're Pat, it's called hot sauce. right?
That's right.
That's right.
Jalapenos.
Jalapenos and hot sauce. Jalapenos. Listen, John. Somebody had given me some jalapenos. Who was that that gave me those jalapenos? There was like those hot. Anyway, they were so hot. They were so hot that when I gave them to Pat and Tracy, still eat them, you know, and I gave them to them, she had to use thick plastic gloves to prepare the meal for what they were going to put in their mouths. Is that wild?
My goodness.
Yeah.
And she's like crying and doing them like, if you had to put like thick plastic gloves on to touch.
Didn't that be a clue?
Isn't that a clue? And then they said, oh, it was good. It's like, how does that work? You know what I'm saying?
I know people like the hot stuff. You know, to me, I like flavor. I don't like the roof of my mouth burning, but hey, that's cool if that works for you, you know?
You know, when God healed me, when I could not even eat hot sauce years ago because of something in my digestive system, and I just never did. If I ate hot sauce or something like that, you know, it would just react and kind of like seize up or something, some weird stuff. And so just in God's presence one night, just worshiping God, you know, not saying, heal me.
Right.
You know, people are like, please, focus there, God, now, you know, that kind of thing. Just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I realized, this is back when I was in law enforcement, I realized that I was totally healed. I didn't have to take the medicine. Wow. All that's going on. Awesome. But how I knew I was healed is I went to Damon's. Remember Damon's years ago?
Oh, yeah. That was hot.
You introduced me to Damon's.
Yeah, did I? Oh, my goodness, man. These big, huge turkey wings. I mean, they were like chicken wings, but they were huge.
They were so good.
Weren't they good?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I think it was like one cup of salt on every wing and about 50 pounds of hot sauce.
Yeah.
And I could eat a whole plate of those. And believe it or not, I'm eating less today. I don't know what's going on.
Really?
You got to pray for my metabolism. But, you know, I knew that if I could eat. And so I celebrate my healing at Mexican restaurants.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My goodness. If you're in doubt and you're wondering what business to get into in America, get into pizza, pasta, and Mexican food.
That's right.
Some sort of red sauce on something. And everybody's going to love it. But we're going to talk about it. It's so important to be able to talk about it, about the Second Amendment. Yes, the United States Constitution. So the mysterious carbon bond, not Pat's hot sauce, you know, bond. It's a carbon bond. I was saying, you know, what holds us all together? And when you look at and you study, you know, biology, that you find out that it's a carbon bond. If you go all the way down with your, you know, microscopes and all that kind of stuff, you go down, you look, you find out that there's a carbon bond in every element that holds you together. I always say the cease doesn't stand for carbon. It stands for Christ because he tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that he holds all things together.
That's right.
We got the first letter right, but the rest of it was wrong. The anointing holds us together. And so in that, you know, so without the carbon bond, what would happen to our bodies? We would just blow. We wouldn't blow. We'd just come apart. Now I'm talking about emotional. We always do that sometimes. But I'm talking about your whole body would just kind of like, it's the glue that holds your body together. So the constitutional makeup of your human body, your constitution then, what you're made of is your carbon bond and your DNA. The DNA has every little form, every little part of your, every cell has a strand in it. And it's called your DNA, and it has everything your body is made of is in that one particular cell. That's why we can explain today how can God lay Adam down and pull a rib out and make his wife or make woman, because everything in that rib was everything he's made of.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, DNA. And so the Constitution, you know, it means what you're made of, what holds you together, you know, in your body is the carbon bond, the DNA strands, you know, and that you can see where they, they go and they do what's that called when they do the crime scenes and they look for DNA. Is it DNA samples? Yeah, DNA samples. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they track you down based off your DNA. And how can they do that? How can they free somebody who's been in jail wrongly accused or take somebody to jail and lock the dumb, accuse them because of DNA? Is it because their constitution, what they're made of, what that person's made of is that DNA? It's what the definition of is what holds you together.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Constitution of America, the United States Constitution, is our DNA. It's what holds us together. That's under right. The hand of God, because it acknowledges God. It's you know, if you read the Federalist Papers and all the ones who wrote our Constitution, they were all in understanding that our rights come from God, and they wrote it down. And so that is the DNA. So when somebody's messing with human DNA, you know, it's not going to come out right. And when they're messing with the Constitution, America's DNA, our carbon bond, the C in America for that does not stand for Christ, it stands for Constitution under the hand of God, then they're going to change. It's going to morph. It's going to turn into something that it's not supposed to turn into. So you got to look at and research. If they're sending people to jail and freeing people who've been wrongly accused in jail by looking at the DNA of somebody, it's that accurate. That's what holds that person together and determines how they're going to do what they're going to do and what they're going to look like and what their children's going to look like and on and on and on. Well, with that, you know, that's what the Constitution is. So when you start changing the Constitution, when you start trumping it and changing it, you're going to change what we call America. It will not be the America that you know. It'll be fundamentally transformed from its DNA. So you can't mess. It's not just some outdated document that a lot of universities are saying right now.
That's right. And it'll continue to be transformed because each person and each group will continue to redefine it and will go further and further away from the original intent and what the founding fathers have, you know, instilled when they created the Constitution.
Right. And part of that, we've talked about the Fourth Amendment. You got to check it out on highlights. You know, coming from law enforcement experience, I stood in the courtrooms. You know, you're somebody's taking your constitutional rights. When they arrest you, they're saying, I understand that now I'm taking away your constitutional rights momentarily to find out whether you're innocent or not. But while you're incarcerated, while you're in jail, you're still an American citizen. And that's why you hear people saying, well, I can't believe they're doing that for these prisoners. And I can't, they're doing that for, and it's like, they're United States citizens. They don't lose their constitution. And they do go to prison. They go to prison for a period of time. Their constitutional rights used to be the second they came out of jail and served their time and paid their debt to society. And that's what that means. Their constitutional rights were restored to them. I mean, it's so important. Even criminals got their, you know, coming back out, what they should. Once you know, if the society says, you know, it's a corrections institution, it's not a forever, we're never going to let this thing go thing. You know, we all, you know what I'm saying? We all need help. And so one part of that, we talked about the Fourth Amendment. You got to find it. You got to listen to it. It's not some standard conversation. It is understanding that you got to know your constitutional rights because they're going to take them from you if you don't, and you won't even know they took them. And you'll start complaining because you're used to things being a certain way, and now they change the way they're doing things. They change the DNA. And since you didn't know what the DNA was in the first place, you're just going to be huffy and puffy about it, but not realizing it was because your lack of involvement and reading, you know, what the Constitution says and knowing it. And that's the same. We're not going to go to the original tent of the church, but the original tent of the church is the same way. Mm-hmm. That's how the church got to where we are today, because everybody quit reading the text and just started creating new things, and they're trying to change the DNA of God's people. And so with that, listen to the Fourth Amendment. You got to find out, you know, you have the right for nobody to come and search your house, search your things, your papers, which is your data. And it talks very specifically about that. But we're going to be talking in the extra hour because of what's happening and what we're seeing with Fast and Furious, with Eric Holder, the attorney general, the highest law enforcement officer in America is involved in crime.
Mm. Wow.
He's selling guns to the drug lords. He's having one of our men have been killed. Our agents were killed by a gun that he was part of getting it into their hands. And they have a strategy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to play a segment for you where our attorney general says openly that the key to changing people's viewpoint about guns is to brainwash them.
Mm.
It's to totally brainwash the people.
Mm.
And so we're also going to talk about in the extra hour is about how now our president's using the United Nations. The United Nations, and they're going to go from that angle to be able to try to change how we handle our Second Amendment rights, which is guns. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the extra hour, Second Amendment, the Second Amendment of the Constitution. And you just can't buy into all the lies and what they're saying about it. But just to let you know, in the Constitution, I don't think it's up yet, but on the Constitution, you know, you have the right to bear arms, to possess and to keep and to bear arms. And we're going to talk about that, even to a right of a militia. We're going to talk, what does that mean? So you got to stay tuned. This is very important. You know, we're not here just to be here. I mean, the last thing that we really wanted to do was to be able to do something in addition to what we were doing. But we knew that this was God for us because we wanted to be a balanced voice for you to let you know, even though they think they call you crazy because you're believing in the Constitution and you're believing God, realize the devil's a liar. That's right. Know, and that that's what they'll use. And they'll find other liars that'll stand by them, just like Naboth, when Naboth was doing what he was supposed to do. And they'll bring you to a place to honor you, only to put two scoundrels on the side of you to try to do you in, because it's all about public opinion. They're always had a fear of man. If I can convince enough men that this particular person who's telling the truth is telling a lie, then we can change things and do them in. Right. So you gotta hear that. You got to definitely hear that. We're going to be right back in just a moment, but listen, we want to talk to you about your rights. We want you to know your constitutional rights. Right now, what we're going to talk about and after this message, you know, you're going to be totally probably surprised because everything you're hearing about the Constitution, things you're hearing about the Second Amendment, they're just not telling you this. And it's not wrong to go by the Bible. It's not wrong to read the Word of God. And a lot of the church has said today, you know, don't go by the text. You know, this doesn't mean that anymore. And guess what? Now God's having our leaders tell us, don't go by the text of the Constitution. I mean, you know, we're going to be talking about that because if we ignore God's instructions and His Constitution, do you really, if we deny His sovereignty, which what's happening in America, that He is God above Him, there's none other, and our rights come from Him. Do you really think He's going to let America keep our sovereignty? But see, the enemy does this by telling you that you don't have rights, and you have rights, constitutional rights. And we'll share that. The Second Amendment, we'll be talking about in just a moment. What we're going to talk about at this moment, a very important part of our Constitution under original intent, we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. You know, we talked about the Fourth Amendment the other day. We've talked about the First Amendment. And then we're going to talk about the Second Amendment. The Constitution, as you can hear earlier in the first part of our extra hour, is what we're made of. Maybe the first hour, I don't know.
First hour.
Right. It's what we're made of, and you have to understand that. Hopefully that'll be together in the highlights, those two pieces could be there. But we have right now, let me just give you a brief little overview. Well, let's read this. Let's read. I don't want to assume that you know what it is, you know, and I want to make sure I know what it is. So I'm going to read it off of the torch, the VFN torch. I'm going to read it right here. The particular posting is a Second Amendment, militia and right to keep and bear arms. That's the name of it. So it has the Second Amendment there. Good job. It reads, this is written in our Constitution that holds us all together now. This has nothing to do with catching or shooting dinner, hunting rabbits.
Right.
You silly rascal, you. A well and regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I meant, hello, a militia. Think about it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of freedom. So freedom comes when a people have the right to keep and bear arms.
That's right.
I mean, there's nothing like that freedom comes because you can't have freedom. If, in fact, you know, if there was no guns, then people would be taking your freedom from you.
That's right.
And he says, it just says this, a well-regulated militia being necessary. This is the Second Amendment. This is what the Constitution that our forefathers who our founding fathers had laid out for us, because they came from a tyrannical rule. They came from a place that, that the guillotine could take your head off for not, you know, doing what they were saying. Or they came from a place that said, you know, that the king or the queen is over the church and this is how you'll do it. They came from a place that would put you in shackles and chains and stretch you or chain you and throw you in the water to see if you floated, to see if you were you know, innocent or not, you know, crazy stuff.
You would think they learned something, huh?
Yeah, and they did, but the thing is, we forgot what they've learned. But they wrote it down in a document called the Constitution. In the Second Amendment, they said, we don't ever want that to ever happen again. We don't ever want the government to come and take our, we want, it's a government by the people and for the people. The government doesn't have a rule over us. We have rule over the government. This is totally new for you. If you have been hearing what you believe what's being said, and it's a government by and for the people. And we're the ones that sent a representative government there. We're a republic. We're not a democracy. And, so with that, you know, obviously then if the people are the ones that are the leaders in America and they send representative government to Washington, D.C., the leaders are going to need to be able to be armed to be able to maintain this freedom continues. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Government is not. Read the Declaration of, read the Constitution, United States Constitution. You know, it lets you know that you are the one that is the leader here. And by doing that, the problem with representative government is nothing. No, problem with representative government is you got to get involved. You've got to find out who's running for office. You got to ask them what they stand for. You got to make sure that they're in agreement with the Constitution, because they're supposed to swear. They got to swear for the president, the Congress, the Senate, the judiciary branch, your governors, your police officers, your military. They have to swear that they will protect and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. They're supposed to protect and defend our Second Amendment rights. They're supposed to protect that. We're not supposed to go like, oh my goodness, our government's going to try to take it. We sent you there to protect the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to bring your agenda on top of our Constitution and try to snuff it out.
Right.
That's not your whole purpose. You're violating. You need to be impeached if you're going to violate what you've been sent there to do. You're to protect and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and in America, domestic. So the question then, first of all, it says a well-regulated militia. What is a militia? A militia is defined, and Wikipedia talks about it. It says, and you can see this on the torch, is the Viffen torch. The term militia means irregular army, just kind of like a, it's commonly used today to refer to a military force composed of ordinary citizens. Mm. That's you, America, to provide defense, emergency law enforcement, or paramilitary service in times of emergency without being paid a regular salary or committed to a fixed term of service. Think about that. A sheriff right now in America, if he feels or she feels that, you know, they need help, they can look at you, point at you, and say, you are hereby deputized. According to the Constitution, they can do that because you can be a part of a well-armed militia to be able to help that sheriff with what's going on in that city. And I truly believe where we're going, the direction we're going, and how this nation's being dismantled, we're going to have to get this. Because the sheriff probably going to turn to you, and they're going to ask you for help.
Wow.
And if you start thinking, well, I'm not the police, and I couldn't do this, and I can't do that, it's like, look at the Constitution. Yes, you can. It's a government by and for the people. To be able to maintain this freedom, you may be called on to be able to protect the citizens from some harm that may be coming to them. And but it talks more about that. You can see more about that. But it basically are armed citizens that help the people in time of need, that protect the people. That's what a militia is. So it's like an organized, unofficial army that kind of gets together and says, you know, you're not going to do that in this city anymore because you're hurting people and you need to leave the city, or the citizens just that's why you look at older movies, right, and you see this whole crew coming with pitchforks and and all that kind of stuff. You think that's crazy. Well, actually, you know, they were coming for a murderer, and he or she had escaped or something, and they're coming after it. That's a militia that was coming there to be able to bring that person to justice and bring them into the jail. And right. The citizens would come together because of the Second Amendment right to be able to go down and to be able to not violate the individual's constitutional rights, but to be able to subdue. I remember, you know, when I'd already left law enforcement already, and you can leave law enforcement, but law enforcement doesn't leave you. It took a long time for it to actually leave out of me. And I remember the officers and the community I was in was chasing someone. And I just happened to be riding through a particular part of the community where I saw the suspect slam on brakes in the car and jump out and was running. Mm-hmm. And the police officer hadn't got there yet. Right. It just something kicked in. Not now. I don't want to do that now.
Right.
Now
could
just
you
pick
run
up,
now?
Oh, well, hey, I could drive much faster than I can run. And I would just call and say, here he is. But, I jumped out of my car because he was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I detained him waiting for the officers to get there. That's something you can do. You can wow. do that. I mean, they recommend that you don't do it, but we're about to get to a certain point.
This is after you got out.
This is after I got out.
Oh, cool.
And that's where I met Pat. I detained him in long. No, and so, but you know, with that, you know, they say oh, we don't need the help and got that kind of thing. But understand where we're going, what's about to happen in America, that our law enforcement is going to need our help, but we're going to need to understand what our constitutional rights are, what our constitutional responsibilities are, how that we need to honor the laws in the land and operate in the context of them. But we may have to get involved because it reminds me of, you know, during the hurricanes, when the hurricanes came and in the Gulf Coast, and many people were living in small trailers, FEMA trailers, because all the houses were totally flattened out on the Gulf of Mexico. And one night somebody tried breaking into the trailer mm-hmm. that they were in, you know, and as you know, the trailers are very thin. And as soon as they opened that door, the owner fired a shot.
That's right.
And,
I remember that.
And they protected themselves, and they were not charged with any kind of murder because it was a justified killing under the constitutional right that you have a right to bear and to keep arms and a right to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And to take that away, then they would have been robbed that night. And not only that, because of that one incident.
Or hurt.
Yeah, hurt or robbed. That because of that one incident, because everybody becomes vulnerable at that point when there's no power, there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no law enforcement in that area. You got to stand up, and you can do this constitutionally, right? And so, but the word got out by the one radio station that was up at that time, and it just kind of, we didn't hear that again. We didn't hear people breaking into houses, you know?
Oh, no.
Isn't that amazing how that works?
Best behavior came out.
That's the best behavior. There's nothing like knowing and feeling the suspect, knowing that you may be armed behind that wall. That's the only thing that keeps them out.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's keeping them out, that or a bat. Anyway, so a well-regulated militia is part of the plan of our founding fathers here. And it's necessary to be able to the security of a free state. Our freedom comes because we have a right to keep and to bear arms. And that's why you see people marching in Washington, D.C., and they're carrying their gun on their side. They're not trying to bow up and say stuff that, you know, the enemy's trying to twist that. That's not, they're just walking around their Second Amendment right and saying, don't forget, we have the right to bear these arms. You can't take these from us.
That's right.
And it's necessary for the freedom. Hmm. It's necessary for the freedom of, we're going to maintain this freedom, that anybody that's, you know, not a felon and you know, is in their right mind can be able to possess it. No matter what happens, you know, we have to be able to do that, to be able to maintain to the freedom.
It's so important that you're educating us on this because, you know, there's so many Americans that I speak to that are not aware of our rights, and in particular the right to bear arms. And you can feel as almost that you're doing something wrong. You're not supposed to. This is not right. And if you're not educated and you don't know, that's not a good place to be, you know, and it's just, it's amazing how liberating, and say, wait a minute, I do have these rights. This is not trouble. I'm, you know, this is a good thing for me.
That's exactly it. And once you believe a lie, it doesn't matter what the truth is because then they'll just tell you what it is. And read it again. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, infringe is defined as to commit a breach or an infraction of, to violate or trespass, to act or a result of breaking or a gap made in a wall to be able to, and what they're trying to do right now is make a gap in the Second Amendment. They're trying to create gaps that keep guns out of people's hands.
Right.
A gap in a fortification that you may have in your household and that type of thing. And so understanding that all that stuff is a violation of the Second Amendment. When they start messing around with trying to keep you away from your, if you choose to bear arms, if you choose to have guns, for example, then if they start messing around with that, then they're messing around. They're infringing on that. They're infringing on that. And it's unconstitutional. When they say unconstitutional, what they're saying is that the Constitution says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And so you need to know this. If you don't know this, you'll be all and they're making a big scene about it, because that's what I'm going to talk about, that our head attorney general, our head law enforcement officer chosen by our president, President Barack Obama, they are against gun possession. As a matter of fact, the president said, and I don't think I have it available for you today. I wish I had it available for you. Maybe, John, you can have it, is that, you know, that the president, when he was running for office, he was talking about, you know, when people get scared in America, that in small towns, that they run to hold on a minute, I got it right here for you. He says that they run to their guns and religion.
Mm.
Well, you know, I mean, he has a right to an opinion like that, of course. But the thing about it is, you're talking about the Second Amendment.
Right.
And if I'm running to the First and the Second Amendment, if I'm running to God and guns, that's the first two amendments. It's a good thing. It's constitutionally correct.
Right.
And lawful for you to run to God and pray.
Mm-hmm.
He said, right. when time gets bad, they run to guns and God, guns and religion. But listen to it yourself, and then we'll be right back.
But the truth is that our challenge is to get people persuaded that we can make progress when there's no evidence of that in their daily lives. And you go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, a lot of small towns in the Midwest. Yeah, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. And they've gone through the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising then that they get better and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy towards people who aren't like them. Right?
So he actually compares the fact of things falling apart in people's life, that they rediscover the First and the Second Amendment. And then he goes right into, and that's why they have issues with people that are not like them. It's like, how did that get in there? The First and the Second Amendment, they were legally had the right to be able to bear arms and to worship God. Mm-hmm. And that's our president. That's when he's running for office at that particular time. And that says quite a bit. But in addition, now he has appointed Eric Holder. Eric Holder is the head law enforcement officer for the United States of America, the federal government. And it seems like he sees himself as the head law enforcement officer in every state as well. And he's the one that we're going to talk about in a moment, that he was part of Fast and Furious. And Fast and Furious is when he was selling guns. His organization, the federal law attorney general, had a whole thing set up called Fast and Furious, and they had a strategy where they're gonna sell guns to the drug lords in Mexico, coming from a law enforcement standpoint, the sting is not a negative thing. They were giving guns. We never gave guns. We never ever 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 armed the enemy. We never did that. Never did that in law enforcement because you can get killed by the suspect. You know, we actually disarmed them. Well, our head law enforcement officer gave them guns. Long story short, they come back and they kill one of our agents with a gun that he was part of getting into their hands. And you think, well, why would that be? Why would that be? Well, listen right here. This is Eric Holder speaking about he wants to be able to get a message apart. This is on C-SPAN. He's talking, and he's talking about brainwashing, that that we have to begin to get people's viewpoints to change on the way we see guns. Like you're talking about, John, people start thinking that it's kind of weird to be able to think about the Second Amendment.
Right.
And so he calls it brainwashing. And so it looks like what they were trying to do down in Mexico was to have all of our citizens on the southern borders, you know, start to be terrified of these guns and to be able to outlaw them. And you can say that because when the governor of Arizona begins to enforce the federal laws for immigration,
right,
then they sue. This attorney general sues the governor and says, we are not going to support the federal law. We are not going to back up our own laws. Now, he's actually giving guns to the drug lords.
Wow.
Through his lineage of command. He knows about it. Congress, your representative government, that's there to answer, ask questions for you. So when they say no, when he said no to Congress, he said no to you. I am not going to tell you, America, what happened here. And he refused. And now he's being held in contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He's being held in contempt of Congress. But listen to what he says right here. And you can begin to understand that this is his belief. He believes, you know, first of all, the president says, you know, people run to guns and religion, which is the First and the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wanting, because if you disarm a person, if you take away their weapons, then
that's
you've
right.
got them.
Mm-hmm.
You've
right.
got the people. You've right. got them. But as long as they're armed, I mean, we surrounded people before in law enforcement. You know, we were all armed, but they were armed too. And so we didn't mess with them until we disarmed them. You know,
right.
we would wait until for them. We'd take our time, be patient for them to be disarmed, because you, even though they were wrong, for example, you know, you could not do anything until they were unarmed. Well, if you're right and you're unarmed, anybody can do anything to you at that point. But listen to this. Listen to Eric Holder, our head law. You just heard our president, what he said.
Right.
Guns and God, guns and religion. Now listen to Eric Holder talk about brainwashing.
I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well. But not only them, community leaders, Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Okay, you want to hear that again. You need to hear what our head law enforcement officer is talking about guns.
About guns in a vastly different way. Thinking about guns in a vastly different way of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns a week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly
Listen
different
way.
Week and just really brainwash people into thinking
your head law
about guns
officer.
In a vastly week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly week and just really brainwash people
are
into
we getting it think about
it. Guns mm. in a vastly different
our head law enforcement officer is has a strategy to change how we think about the Second Amendment, and he says this is how you do it with bombardment, consistent messaging, and saying that, you know, saying not the exact words, but if you read now, the Second Amendment is saying that guns are bad and
right.
that the possession mm-hmm. of guns are bad, and you have to brainwash them. And then we find out, now you start putting all these pieces together. Then you see our president who chose him say that when things go bad, that Americans run to cling to God and religion, or cling to God and religion and guns, right?
Right.
Which is the First Amendment, the Second Amendment.
Right.
And then you see Fast and Furious, connect the dots. Think about it, connect the dots. Then you see Fast and Furious where he's selling guns. And this is the guy who's telling you we don't need guns in the schools. And when
right.
you change them, he's selling guns to the drug lords, you know, in Mexico.
Mexico.
And they're on the edge of our southern borders. Our president's job is to protect our borders. He is the head law enforcement agent to be able to be a part of that. He stands up and tells Americans, not only I'm not going to tell you about how I sold guns to the drug lords over there and they shot one of our own officers, I'm not even going to protect the borders when they come over the borders with the guns that I gave them.
Wow. Wow.
We just need to brainwash them, which is, this is where I'm getting at. And so the head law enforcement officer goes down to Trevon's situation down in Stanford, Florida, and which is a tragedy that happened. But understand, it was a tragedy during the hurricane when the man was shot. But he was breaking into the trailer.
Right.
He was breaking into the people's home, you know, and that and only we don't even know until the evidence comes out. Everything's been trialed on the media. But understand this, that whatever happened down there, our head law enforcement agent, Eric Holder, goes down to and gets involved in local state law and goes down there and says, I am here and partnering with Reverend Sharpton to be able to, you know, it's like, where is this coming from? They're using it to brainwash and change the way we think about guns,
right?
You know, and if the church has got to quit being scared.
Right.
You got to quit it. Knock it off. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and they feared not their life unto death. What if the police officers were scared? I mean, they're protecting you every day. And understand this, that they have a constitutional right to be able to do what they're doing, but we gave them the right to do it, which means we have to have as much confidence as the police officer. We got to be just as confident over how we walk in authority that we're given unconstitutional rights. We got to be able to, like, when we see a head law enforcement officer, the Attorney General Eric Holder, give guns to the drug lords.
Right.
One of our officers that he's responsible for dies with one of those guns, gets killed. He refuses to tell the American people all the details in it. He tells the governor of Arizona that we're not going to protect the flow of people coming in who are armed and armed with Eric's guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the context of that, you start thinking and putting these things together. It's like they're trying to change. And this is I have no evidence of this. I have no evidence of this yet. But I feel it. I feel it. Just like they tried to use Trevon's tragic situation. Just like they tried to use the drug lords over in Mexico. Just like they started to make a statement about, you know, Americans run to religion and guns. That this whole situation in Aurora, Colorado, and where does this young man get these four guns, and how come he turned himself in? How come he just turned himself in? And if he booby-trapped his apartment, why did he tell him he booby-trapped the apartment? What do you have? You have this big spew of ammunition and weapons and all this kind of stuff. And now what's going to happen is they're going to use that. What is the president stops his agenda down in South Florida and he heads straight to Aurora, Colorado to be able to make a point. And you're going to be seeing, watch, you're going to be seeing come out. Part of his agenda is going to be able to change. He's not going to say change the Second Amendment, but to be able to bring gun control. Specifically what he says is that they can infringe on the Second Amendment. They begin to describe different ways to be able to encroach.
Right, not only that, but now you have the Mayor Bloomberg here in New York who's echoing this almost immediately after this horrible massacre. He's actually pressing and pushing on the president and pushing on the candidates and making this some sort of a national agenda and politicizing a tragedy. And it's absolutely horrible. And so you can't be afraid. And that's what happens, you know, here living, you know, 10 miles outside of New York City and, you know, 9/11 that occurred here. It's amazing that as soon as fear creeps into a city, fear creeps into a land, fear creeps into a people, everyone is very quick to give up their rights and for the sake of being safe. And what you've just done is made yourself unsafe.
That's exactly it. That's totally it. And so, understand, you can't give things up. We got to, time is so flying. And so now, since that's not, that they're trying, there's a whole thing being built right here that you're going to fix it to hear from Fox News. Listen to real quick. Like, they're beginning now to use the United Nations to be able to come and make international sign a treaty on July 27th, which is a couple of days away. But listen up.
Sure,
it's right here. You're fixing about to hear it right now.
Well, new concerns today as the United Nations is now considering at this moment a global arms treaty that would curtail certain gun sales. Right now, the UN is working on a plan that would put a whole new set of international gun rules in place. Supporters, including the Obama administration, argue it will make the world more secure by tamping down on weapons commonly used by gangs and terrorists. But critics fear it would infringe on the Second Amendment right to bear arms right here in the United States.
So you think about this, that right now they are working, our president is working against our Second Amendment constitutional right, and he is sworn to protect it and to defend it. And he's the one that's actually working with somebody outside of our country, the United Nations, to be able to use laws to come and handle gang. Understand, when you hear about gang situations in America, those are American citizens that we need to work with that have constitutional rights, and we don't need. And if you take away your neighbor's right, guess what? You're your neighbor's neighbor.
You're next.
Mm-hmm. You're your neighbor's neighbor, and we start dismantling this Constitution, and that's what's happening. And what's encouraging though is Wayne Lapierre, with the president of the National Rifles Association, NRA, is speaking right here. And you got to hear this. He's going to speak to the United Nations and confront this issue, because that's July 27. They're talking about signing this treaty. And you cannot ratify a treaty without the majority of Senate and the Congress getting behind it. I don't know what they're even talking about. But they're, think about this. Think world. This is where our president thinks. He thinks world. He thinks,
right.
He does not think local, you know, constitutional. He's when you see, you know, him, he operates. His fruit is this. I can tell you what he's thinking. But his fruit says he's thinking world. He's not thinking America. And we're talking about America. We're not, you know, we don't have a responsibility for how other parts of the world run. But we have responsibility for how America runs. And so here is Wayne Lapierre, that is president of the NRA, speaking to the United Nations about what's happening. Listen up.
The NRA is the largest and most active firearms rights organization in the world, with 4 million members who represent 100 million Americans who own firearms. On behalf of those 100 million American gun owners, I am here to announce NRA's strong opposition to anti-freedom policies that disregard American citizens' right to self-defense. No foreign influence has jurisdiction over the freedoms our founding fathers guaranteed to us. We will not stand idly by while international organizations, whether state-based or stateless, attempt to undermine the fundamental liberties our men and women in uniform have fought so bravely to preserve, and on which our entire American system of government is based. For 6 years, the NRA has closely monitored this effort for an arms trade treaty. We have watched with increasing concern, and 1 year ago, I delivered to the preparatory committee our objections to including civilian arms in the ATT. I said then, and I will repeat now, that the only way to address NRA's objections is to simply and completely remove civilian firearms from the scope of the treaty.
You have to understand that they're writing the United Nations, which is Woodrow Wilson's League of Nations virus that started, you know, and it's just working its way towards one world government. That's what they're wanting to do. But in that, they're wanting to be able to determine how you're going to, the United Nations is wanting to be able to say how you can actually bear a gun or not, use a gun or not. I mean, is that not far-fetched?
That's crazy. Mm.
Like, come on, what are you talking about? If you're not yet a member of the NRA, I encourage you, you know, join the NRA. It's a Second Amendment organization. They're constitutional. All they do is just focus on one issue. It's the Second Amendment. Right. And they stand up with 4 million members that represent over 100 million gun owners in America. And, you know, America's just not going to give up their guns. I mean, they're not going to do it. And with that, understanding this, and we'll find out more about the Constitution, that our own military cannot be used against our own people. They designed it in a way that the soldiers can't be, they can only go outside of our country unless, and we're going to study this in the future, our president announces martial law. And if he announces martial law, you understand, you put all this together, connect all the dots that are happening. At that point, your constitutional rights are suspended. Very moment, you have no more constitutional rights during that time of martial law. And there's been times when it was used good. I mean, even George Washington used it. President Washington used it a couple times. But it also can be used for evil. And if the goal of this particular government is to disarm you, you know, definitely Mayor Bloomberg. Oh,
that's
my goodness. You know, he's talking about save money. He's got a big window unit in his van.
I love that.
Another story, you know, the time. And then he, understand, they're not going to get rid of their guns. These guys have bodyguards. Our very own president, who is saying that, you know, we need to get rid of guns and that, he has men standing, good men and women standing around him called the Secret Service, and they are armed. I don't know if you know this or not. They're very armed. They have everything you can imagine to protect him. And this is good. This is what we want. We want our president protected.
Sure.
You know, and in that, you know, you have a right to be protected. You have a right to be just as protected
than as the president.
As the president. And that happens with the right to keep and to bear arms. And so what's happening here, and you got to see the whole presentation of the NRA right to the United Nations, and they're saying, no way, no how will we support this. And understand this, the second that the NRA stands up for it, that, I mean, it was like 15 Democrats swung their votes immediately over to a conservative viewpoint, you wow. know, and it's not a Republican or a Democratic issue, but their voice is so strong that they're people who just care about our country. Just they put a political affiliation aside and say, listen, we don't want to lose our right to bear and to keep arms. You know, and I'm coming from this, and we're coming to the end of the extra hour, is this, that I was in law enforcement for quite a few years, and I always discovered this, that the bad guy always had guns. They always got guns. Mm-hmm. And there was laws that says bad guys can't have guns. There right. was laws that said felons can't possess guns, but they got guns.
Mm-hmm.
The yeah. good thing about it is I had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could use my gun if he didn't drop his gun. But right. if I didn't have a gun, I'm just going to be a victim. And to finally say this as we're closing, if in fact telling people, you know, drop that gun, you know, or drop that weapon works when you're not armed, tell me why are we concerned about Iran and their nuclear power? And uh-huh. if we were not armed as a nation, and he is disarming us, we are being dismantled. But I truly believe it's a set man by God to humble us. But if we humble ourselves, then God will keep us from falling all the way.
Right.
But that what can we do? What can we do? How can we defend ourselves? And that's what the enemy's wanting to do. The enemy wants to disarm you. You legally, according to the Second Amendment, have a right to keep and to bear arms and to form a militia, an organized army to be able to defend your community, whatever's going on, the sheriffs can deputize you. But if they disarm you, do you really think Iran is going to stop with the nuclear weapons? Do you think if Israel was disarmed that they could not be able to say, listen, don't do that? Listen, Israel's very armed, and we helped them get armed. America helped them get armed.
That's right.
Don't give up your weapons. The Second Amendment is very plain. It's very clear. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.